I'm in Florida, you're up there.
5 seconds, Gary.
Okay, stand by, please, everyone. The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. Jesus is Lord. And I'm so glad to be with you all tonight. Man, you are in for a great show tonight. We're going to have an amazing time in the Lord tonight. Have a very special guest. Was kind of a last-minute guest, but I'm telling you, you are going to be so blessed by our friend Rick Pearson. I'm going to introduce him here in just a few moments. But before we do, we're going to pray. We're going to read our scripture as always and get into it. But before we do, I want to hear from you tonight. We're going to be talking about end time prophecy. We're going to be talking about the book of Revelation. We're going to be talking about the Antichrist. We're going to be talking about the judgment of God. And we're not going to be giving you a bunch of prophetic mumbo jumbo. We're going to give you the word of God. Hallelujah. So get ready tonight for an amazing show as we explore what the scriptures have to say in light of the hour that we're living in, praise God. We have the Spirit of truth on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And of course, Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. And so God is going to take us through the scriptures tonight, give us fresh understanding and enlightenment from his word. And what his word always produces is peace and joy. And so there's no fear when we study the book of Revelation. There's no fear when we study end time prophecy, because there's no fear in God. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but we've been given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And we're going to have an amazing time tonight. Tell your friends, give me a like right now on Facebook, give me a share, take the link from Reality Radio 101, send it out to your friends, and then email us. I would especially love to hear from you. If you're a first time listener, email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And if you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, if you
you have a question, especially about end time events, about the Antichrist, about the second beast, who is the false prophet, if you have a question about judgment, if you have a question about when is all this going to happen, we want to hear from you tonight. Email us in studio 101@gmail.com. And as we get ready to start tonight, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God. Let's pray, and then we'll get right in. Get your Bible ready, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise and thanks tonight. We thank you, Father, that you are love, that you are light, that there is no darkness in you at all. There's not even any shadow of turning. There's no variableness. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we love you tonight. We pray, Father, for a flow of the Holy Ghost. We pray for inspiration, for revelation, for utterance. We thank you tonight for speaking to every single person who is listening or watching. We pray that every spirit will be charged, every mind will be renewed, that peace will fill your people. And we thank you, Father, for you get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You know, we know from Revelation chapter 12 that when the Antichrist comes, that many, and I believe personally all, now some like Hilton Sutton and others, and I don't know Rick's perspective yet, but we'll find out. Some believe that there are multiple raptures during the tribulation period. I don't see it personally, and I could be wrong, but I only see one rapture, which is a pre-tribulation rapture, and then I see that the tribulation saints, they die for their faith. They are killed, they're beheaded for the word of God, and the scripture says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and the third way they overcame is they loved not their lives even unto death. Praise God. And so there are difficult times coming to the earth, but the good news is that those that are watching, those that are looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not go through the tribulation. Thessalonians is very plain, and it says that we are not appointed to wrath, but rather to obtain salvation from our God. Amen. He does not want us to go through this period of wrath, because we're not appointed to wrath. That is for those who are sinners, those that have rejected the word of God, who have not loved the truth. They will go through this difficult period. And so if you're somebody tonight and you've been afraid of the revelation, the book of Revelation, if you've been afraid of talking about the Antichrist or the tribulation, don't be afraid anymore, because God's not giving you the spirit of fear. And I'm believing God, and I know Rick is going to believe with me tonight, that if you've got fear of the book of Revelation, you're going to be set free tonight, because God does not want you to be afraid. He wants you to walk in love, and perfect love flushes out or casts out all fear. Praise God. Let me introduce my guest, and he's going to tell you all about himself here. His name is Rick Pearson. He's not only an author, he's not only was on the board of regents and the board of directors for Oral Roberts University. He's not only a personal friend of Oral Roberts, who's now in heaven. He's a personal friend of mine. I went to Israel with him, and I think we went in 2017. And
17.
Even when you talk about swimming in the pool, with our friend Dr. Rod, I was in that same pool when Revelation was flowing. Praise the Lord. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our radio audience and our Facebook audience, Rick.
Okay, my name is Rick Pearson, and I have a television show called Prophecy USA. It's on NRB, it's on Vision, it's on TCT across the nation. And it's a television program specifically designed to unveil the hidden mystery of America's role in Bible prophecy. And we've tied Old Testament prophecies together with the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is the last book in the New Testament, and it's about the end of the end times. There is a nation at the end of time described over 53 times in Scripture, and the United States of America meets every description. So we are focusing on those verses, and we're trying to tell people that what's going on right now in America is no coincidence. The prophets saw it years ago, John saw it years ago, and God is in total control of what's happening in the United States of America. He calls those, he says, I have spoken it, I will also do it, I have purposed it, and I will bring it to pass. And what's happening in America right now, if you get our book and you read it, you will find all 53 descriptions, and we are living in a providential nation of the United States of America. And that's what our ministry is all about, is to point people to the fact that we are living in Bible times right now. The Bible is not irrelevant. The Bible's more relevant today than it's ever been, if you have an open mind to read it.
Yeah. You know,
that's what our ministry is, John.
That's awesome. And if people want to get more information, I'm going to put it up on the screen right now. Tell them where they can go. And I believe you have a free Bible, a free app that they can also download, that they can get all this information and they can watch it on demand.
Yeah, you can go to www.prophecyusa.org and you can order the book, a study guide, or you can get a free app. And the app has all of our TV programs, and the first 12 shows coincide with the 12 chapters in the book. So you can read the book, you can listen to the TV show. The app is free. We can't send the books and the study guide out for free, obviously, but you can download it for very, very, very cheap price. But we're doing everything in our power to use social media and television to let the body of Christ know where we are in Bible prophecy. And the United States plays a pivotal role in this book we call the Holy Bible. You know, and you can also get it on Amazon, John. If you want to go to Amazon, you can buy it direct off Amazon. By the way, we hit number one bestseller last week with the study guide, and two weeks ago we hit bestseller with the book.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Yeah, in religious studies. And the other one was in religious commentaries.
Wow.
So we got both books now have hit bestseller on Amazon.
Wow.
Which we're excited about.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to read your book. You sent me one, but, you know, snail mail here in Canada. I haven't received it yet. So I went on to Amazon and I downloaded your book on Kindle. And so I've been reading it this evening. And I tell you, what has really blessed me, I haven't really gotten into the end time prophecy yet or America, but what has blessed me so much is the reality of God in your life and how God has revealed himself to you in such a tangible, miraculous way. And, you know, those of you that are listening tonight, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. What God will do for one, he'll do for another. And if you don't mind, just take a minute, Rick, and tell the folks how, you know, you wanted to know basically if God was real and he revealed himself to you.
You know, I was raised in a fundamentalist Baptist church. And we were all taught that you had to go forward and ask Jesus into your heart to, you know, to have your sins forgiven. I did that at 7 years old, and I meant it. I got baptized when I was 8 years old. So I've been in the church most of my life, but by the time I was 18, you know, you start wondering if all this is fairy tales or not, especially when they teach cessation theology where God doesn't do miracles anymore.
Right.
So a long story short, I got on my knees one day after visiting Oral Roberts University. I went there to look for a school, and I saw this sign said, expect a miracle. And I'd been listening to Oral Roberts, and he said he was called to raise your students up to hear my voice, to go where my voice is heard small, my light is dim, and my power is not known. And Oral Roberts was saying that God will speak to you directly. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's a still small voice that he speaks to all of us. So anyway, I came from that school and I came to Florida and it was in this apartment, by the way, where I'm at right now, this condo. And I made a vow to God. I got on my knees and I said, if you're real, you show me. I'll do anything you tell me. I'll go into any jungle. I'll do anything. that you show me you're real, I'll give you my life. And the door blew open of the apartment. A wind came in the room. Now, I was with my cousin at the time, and this wind was like a violent whirlwind. It surrounded us, and I hit the carpet, and he hit the carpet with our faces.
This reminds me of Acts. This reminds me of Acts chapter 2, when the wind of the Holy Spirit blew in.
It was exactly like that.
Wow.
And, I started speaking in another language for about 10 minutes. And I thought, I don't know what's going on, but I can't handle this anymore. I put my hand up and I said, Lord, please stop the wind. I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want, but I don't know what's going on right now.
Wow.
The wind left the room. The door slammed shut behind it. Then I discovered several weeks later, Acts chapter 2. Well, within a year, I went to ORU for 4 years, mm-hmm. studied there, got my business degree.
Right.
And after I graduated, I felt led I was supposed to be in our family business. Mm-hmm. And I came home into Canada, worked in the family business. And I thought, you know, how I had this tremendous experience, and here I am sweeping out buses, selling buses. I thought, what kind of, is this what you want? And that apparently, yes, that's what he wanted. But 9 years later, the phone rang, somebody asked, it was ORU, and they wanted to have a Canadian rep on their board. Mm-hmm. So I went down to ORU. And as I was there, they had a medical missions program. And I realized at the time I wasn't tithing.
Mm.
And the Lord really convicted me because I was working hard, making money.
Right.
I knew all the prosperity verses.
Right.
But I really wasn't on fire for God after 9 years in the business world.
Yeah.
And so I made a commitment to God, and I took 10% of my net worth and I sowed a huge seed into medical missions. When I did that, something happened, like in the chapter, Acts chapter 10, uh-huh. when Cornelius gave alms to the Jewish people,
right.
and an angel appeared and said, Cornelius, go talk to Peter,
yeah.
and he will tell you the way to salvation. Now, I was already saved, but what I received in that theophany or that revelation that I had several days after I gave that money,
yeah.
was information on the United States of America that was downloaded on me.
Wow.
And for 7 days I had this happen. On the seventh day, I thought I was kind of losing my mind because these words were going over and over again. On the seventh night of the seventh day, the Lord woke me up audibly, spoke to me. Audibly, wow. in the wow. middle of the night, called me by name. And I'll be honest with you, John, I was scared to death. And I said, why are you calling me? And the voice said, because I love you, Rick. And then it entered my chest and said, I want you to have fruit that remaineth.
Wow.
Now, I won't share any more about that, but everything that I was shown and told, I would think questions and the Lord would answer me audibly. To the point where I said, Father, I can't handle this anymore, because it was overwhelming what he was showing me that was coming to America.
Wow.
And it was all about America in Bible prophecy. And it was all about, he mentioned Russia and this war that was coming. And John, it blew my mind. I slept for 3 weeks with my Bible on my chest. And finally, you know, when Daniel had his experience, he said his head was troubled and he couldn't even think, and he turned white. He was so scared. And Nebuchadnezzar had the same thing. He said, the things of my head troubled me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I was. So I jumped on a plane and flew down to ORU.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Oral Roberts lay his hands on me because I didn't know if maybe I was hallucinating or it was just too much, the information.
Now, is this after he brought you on the Board of Regents?
This was just before
wow.
he put me
Which
on.
Which is the fact that you had access to Dr.
I had
Roberts
access
is amazing.
To him.
Wow.
Yeah. And he laid his hands on me and he started laughing. And I thought, good night, nurse. I flew all the way down here. I'm willing to go into a I'm willing to go into the psychiatric ward for observation because, I mean, I'm hearing voices, all this stuff's happening, and I have never done a recreational drug in my life, John. I was a good Baptist boy, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, swear, don't chew, don't you date a girl that do. I was living clean. And he started laughing, and he could tell I was offended. He says, no, no, Rick, I'm not laughing at you. He says, you have definitely heard from God.
Wow.
He said, there's nothing wrong with you. Now, you come on our board. Wow. And I said, Brother Roberts, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my mind. And he said, you're not going to lose your mind. You stick with us, and we'll be your covering. And I sat there for 21 years. And, you know, it's only in the last 4 years that I actually found scripture that just jumped off the pages. And I said, there it is. You know, the word has an appointed time, John.
You know, I've been thinking that the last 5 minutes you've been talking, Habakkuk 2, where he says, write the vision, for it is yet for an appointed time. Moed, an appointed
exactly.
time.
Exactly. It's an appointed time. Now, I want to say something to your audience.
Please.
You should never, never, never base your theology on somebody else's vision, somebody else's dream, or somebody else's spiritual experience.
I'm so glad you said
that. Your theology must be based on the written word of God.
That's right.
And the Bible says we see through a glass darkly.
Yes.
It also says that prophecy will fail.
Yes.
Sometimes people prophesy in earnest. They love God, but they miss it, and it's them that's prophesying. He says, this is the word the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously.
Out of his own spirit. That's right.
Out of his own, you know, he wants something to happen so bad.
Yeah.
So my goal is not to say, thus saith the Lord. My goal in my book that I've written, it's 288 pages. We have over 200 references. My goal in this book is to point you to the word of God. And you study to show yourself approved. And what God has shown me, I believe he's going to show thousands of people what he showed me, where we are on the prophetic time clock, John.
And the name of your book is?
Is The Hour That Changes Everything.
The Hour That Changes
Everything. The Hour That Changes Everything.
Yeah, popped right
We're
up.
Coming to a point in Bible prophecy where in 1 hour, everything is going to change around the globe. And it all focuses around the Gog-Magog war.
Wow.
And America's role in that war.
I want to get there. Before we go there, a few questions for you. One, when I think about you and I think about this vision, I keep thinking about the spirit of Elijah that was sent forth to prepare the way of the Lord. And God uses prophets to prepare people's hearts, not to drive them away from God, but to bring them to God. And judgment is not about scaring people. Judgment is about preparing and warning that God is a holy God. And if you're going to see God, Hebrews tells us that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And we know that the spirit of Elijah will come before the coming of the Lord. And we know that the spirit of Elijah will be in the two witnesses, one of the two witnesses, in order to prepare the people even during the tribulation. But I remember back in the 90s, one of the prophets I was introduced to was a Romanian prophet. I can't remember if you and I have talked about him or not. His name was Dimitru Duneman. Do you know that
name?
Yes.
So, yeah,
Go ahead. So Dimitru was used by God to come to America to warn America of a coming judgment. And the Lord showed him missiles coming down and showed him fire and destruction in the United States of America. But before that, he had a lot of similar experiences that you did, and even greater ones in terms of supernatural experiences. He used to smuggle Bibles into China from Romania. Now, he was under the dictatorship of Ceausescu in Romania, who was a terrible killer. and the secret police would come and raid his house. And he had boxes and boxes of Bibles that he was smuggling into China. And when the police would come in, the boxes would be right there. And he's thinking, they're going to kill me. They're going to arrest me. And they couldn't see the boxes. God supernaturally blinded them, and they could not see the Bibles. And years later, God sent him, connected him with a ministry out of Topeka, Kansas, and the Prophecy Club. And he toured America preaching on a very similar message that you're preaching on. And so you're not the first one. And I know there's others that are bringing this message from God. And it's not a message of bondage. It's not a message of fear and gloom. It's a message of freedom. Judgment is not something that's evil or bad. Judgment is good. God is going to bring judgment. And so God is preparing his people to be ready for this hour. And so go ahead and continue and tell us about the things that God began to reveal to you about America. And I know there's 53 clear descriptions of Mystery Babylon that can only fit and do fit the United States of America.
Well, one of the scriptures, one of the most motivating scriptures I ever found in the Bible is Ezekiel 33:8-9. And I'm going to paraphrase it, but it says, if I show you that calamity is coming,
right,
and the people die in their sins and you don't warn them, they'll die in their sins, but your blood I will require on their blood, I'll require on your head. But if you warn them and they still die in their sins, they will die in their sins, but you have delivered your soul. When God tells you to go to Nineveh and give them a word, don't go to Tarshish, or you may end up on a Mediterranean cruise back to Nineveh.
In the belly and of a whale.
In the belly of a whale. So I am doing this. And John, I like to focus strictly on, I don't like to focus too much on what I was told, because people have a tendency to look at other people to hear God's word. What I'm trying to do is point people into the word of God, so they themselves get on their knees, get in the word. And when you read the word reads you. When you examine it, it examines you.
Come on.
So God will speak to you and show you what he's shown me in this book with the 53 descriptions of America. And I've had people tell me, the fellow that helped me write this book is one of the authors who, the 75 theologians who wrote the New King James Version from Thomas Nelson.
Okay.
And he's worked on four different commentaries in Revelation, and he told me that he is totally convinced that my interpretation is the most accurate that he's ever seen, and
wow,
that's in 25 years. Now, the reason it's the most accurate he's ever seen mm-hmm. is because it's happening right now in real time what the Bible prophesied would happen. So we see a nation that's being raised up by God. It's called Babylon the Great, and she's the richest. Here's some of the descriptions. Would you like me to give you the first 11?
This is the interpretation that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, please. The first
11.
Let's go. Now, is this part of the 53?
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about the first 11 of the 53, and explain what the 53 are first.
The 53 descriptions are a description of a nation called Babylon the Great.
Okay.
First of all, she must be a providential nation. A providential nation means that she's spoken of before she exists. You know, the Bible says that God raises up kingdoms and he deposes kingdoms.
Okay.
So America was raised up providentially by God. The founding fathers, whether they realized it or not, they incorporated biblical protocol into the Constitution, into law. At the head of the Supreme Court, you have the statue of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. America was raised up by God providentially And most people will all will agree with that, that America was based up on biblical principles, Judeo-Christian principles.
For sure.
But what they don't realize is this America is in the Bible, and she's the seventh of eight providential nations in Scripture. That's in Revelation 17:10. And she's called Mystery Babylon the Great. And that word mystery is the word mysterion. It means a secret revealed to a select group of people. You remember Daniel was told, seal the book until the time of the end.
Right.
And then six verses later, he says, the wise will understand, but the wicked will not.
Wow.
This generation is the generation that's going to read the Bible and go, wow, we are Babylon the Great. And there's certain things we need to do while we're living in Babylon the Great. Now, she appears in Revelation 17:12. She appears before the New World Order comes. In Revelation 17:12, it says it describes Babylon from Revelation chapter 17 right through 11. It starts describing Babylon, and then it says, and the beast and the 10 horns, which is the New World Order, who have not yet received power, will hate this woman.
Wow, so, I have it up on my screen.
Okay, can you read Revelation 17:12?
Sure. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
Okay. Now, just keep reading that and see this kingdom, this new world order, they come against the bride of Christ.
These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
This is the remnant right now. This is the word that I'm delivering. We are called, we are chosen, and we are priests. We're living in a nation that's been raised up by God. Something happens to that nation. She falls into darkness. And we have to raise up a shout against the darkness. Now, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. But in Revelation 17:16, Babylon reaches a point where the sins within her are so great that God decides to judge her. And he uses the New World Order and the beast to literally judge Babylon. Now, if you read Revelation 17:16.
Let me ask a question. Before you go there, let me just ask a quick question. Verse 14, they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Could that include the tribulation saints? Or does that include, is that the pre-rapture, the pre-tribulation saints?
I would say both.
Okay.
We don't know who's going to be raptured. Okay. Jesus said, pray that you might be worthy to escape these things. Now, we'll address that in about 15 minutes, John.
Perfect. Okay, you said verse 16.
Right now, read 16.
Okay. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire.
Okay, what's the next verse?
For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that city.
That's good. Now, what we're talking about, this Babylon, and she is recognized by the world as a woman. That's description number 5, and that's in Isaiah 47, Revelation 17, 3, and 18, 3. She's the wealthiest of all nations. Now, I'm not going to quote all the scriptures that we have backing. Otherwise, I'll lose everybody. But every item that I'm saying, if you go through the book, we will give you scripture references for everything. She trades with the merchants of the earth at her deep water ports. She trades over 27 products listed in scripture. She is traded in slavery and the souls of men. She makes the merchants of the earth rich through the abundance of her delicacies. She has a world currency that dominates the seven mountains or continents of the world. Remember, this is all describing her before her destruction,
right?
Before the New World Order comes in. She has the greatest military in the world.
So you're describing Mystery Babylon, and there are 53 descriptions in the scripture that all fit the United States of America. Is that right?
Yes. And wow. We also see right now, we see the New World Order rising when the G7, the G20, the United Nations and the World Health Organization are all proclaiming the 2030 agenda. They want one world governance literally by 2030. So this is the system that's rising up, and America is the seventh. She must go down before the eighth kingdom comes. Now that's found in Revelation 17:10, but we can't do it right now, but when you go through the book and go through the app and the study guide, we explain and show you all eight providential nations throughout history that God has raised up and deposed. Six of them are gone. Two of them are left, number 7 and number 8. Okay. Number 7 is the woman,
okay,
is the mystery. And yeah, the mystery is no longer a mystery to the chosen generation.
Wow.
Who are raised up, and they can see where we are on the prophetic time clock.
Wow.
So God says, now this is what starts happening in Babylon. And as I read these through, you can see what's happening to this providential nation. She has wisdom and knowledge above other nations. She's proud and haughty and says in her heart, I sit a queen and shall see no sorrow. But she falls spiritually into darkness, and mm-hmm, she's literally driven into darkness. Wow. She embraces the Babylonian religions, witchcraft, necromancy, stargazers, Satan worship. She is a leader in world pornography. That's why John called her the whore, the prostitute. It's porneia. Wow. Wow. She is the number one Hollywood produces, I believe, I can't remember all the stats, but the most pornographic movies.
Yeah.
Yes. And, out of the US. And they produce out of there.
Yeah.
And she's a leader in selling pornography.
Yep.
And then she's filled with a multitude of sorceries. That's pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacies from. She's a totally drug-induced nation. Yep. Now, we're talking about people here who don't know the Lord.
Right.
We're talking about the general populace. She becomes a debtor nation, not a lender nation, because she comes out of her covenant and falls into the curse of being in debt.
Wow.
And now,
and even more so now than ever.
And it says here, she becomes the habitation of every form of immorality. In Revelation 18:2, and in Isaiah, it says, get thee into darkness, O Babylon. Thou shalt no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. And it says, she becomes the habitation of every foul, unclean spirit, every demon, and every hateful bird. Her society within her starts crumbling. We're watching this right now as we're entering into Romans 1. And that's why God says, he says to the believers, he says, come out of her, my people,
right,
be not partaker of her sins,
right,
nor in her plagues. The plagues will come in 1 hour.
Wow.
So right now, that's where we are. Now, I'm at 29 right now. Now, in verse number 30, Jeremiah 51, it says, I have filled you with men as with caterpillars. The U.S. has the most Christians in her than any other nation as far as percentage-wise. So God's people are within Babylon, and then you can see the religious of Babylon getting into the church, and there's a falling away because the culture gets into the church. Instead of the church influencing the world gets into the church, and instead of us influencing the Babylonian spirits, the Babylonian spirits get into the church, and seven churches are described in Revelation, and five of them have sins that Jesus is warning them to stop sinning. And you can see the falling away in the church. Mm-hmm. And I won't even go into all the sins, but one of the biggest, the two biggest things about Babylon is Baal worship. The sacrificing of children to Baal was what caused Israel to fall.
Wow.
And that's exactly what happens in Babylon. And people in the church get that spirit on them, and they actually embrace that and say that's okay.
Absolutely.
And so this is what's happening right now. The separation is taking place. Now, in Jeremiah 51, it says, I will send a destroying wind into Babylon, and the wind will come forth out of my treasures, and they are to raise up a shout against her, not against people, but against the sin.
Let's just make it real plain for people, because sometimes folks think that because something is legal in a nation that God's okay with it. God is not okay with the killing of unborn children. Abortion is the destruction, the sacrifice of unborn children. And it's happening at just a ridiculous, alarming rate. And it's been happening now for years since Roe v. Wade in the United States. And here in Canada, I don't know what came first. I think it was legal in the U.S. before it was legal in Canada. But then Canada has taken off to make everything else legal even faster. Here in Canada, in Canada, you cannot have a third term abortion. They won't do it. So what they do is they send, for example, in Ontario, OHIP will pay for a woman to be flown to Colorado to receive a third term abortion, have the abortion, kill the child, and then they send the child back. It costs over send the mother back, costs over $20,000, and the taxpayers in Ontario pay for it.
I did not know that.
Crazy.
I did not know that. Now,
We go any further, let me just take 1 second and just let everybody know we're listening tonight to Rick Pearson. He's the author of The Hour That Changes Everything. It's available on Amazon, and you can get all of his information by going to prophecyusa.org. That's prophecyusa.org. We've still got about 17 minutes left. And we're going to hear more from Rick here in just a moment, but we want your emails tonight. If you're a first-time listener, if you have a Bible question, prayer request, email us. And I'm going to take a minute right now, Rick, and just go through some of these emails real quick as they're coming in. Got an email here tonight from our friend Clyde. Clyde says, so glad the discussion is about Revelation, the only real writings in the Bible that most people do not understand. Thank you. Thank you for that email, Clyde. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Ralph. Ralph says, good evening, Pastor. Blessings to you and your family. Just a reminder, as things have opened up a bit here in Ontario, please remind the people out there to be kind, thoughtful, and courteous. There is enough toilet paper and food for everyone. Peace. Amen, Ralph. That's a good word. And we do need to remind ourselves to be courteous and kind and walk in love. Thank you for that, Ralph. Call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Clyde again. Clyde says, a very great topic, especially regarding Revelation. Wow, thank you. Thank you, Clyde. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Linda. Linda says, this attachment should be the new mantra of the world. Blessings. Linda from Greensboro, North Carolina. The attachment says, it's got someone on their knees praying, and it says, when life seems difficult, push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Amen. Good word. We need to pray, especially in this hour, Linda. Thank you. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Margaret. Margaret says, Pastor John and Rick, good evening. Question, why were the names not written in the book of life from the beginning that are going to take the mark of the beast or worship him? Were they given a chance to know about the saving power of Jesus? You mentioned that today in church, Pastor. I'll answer that. So, Margaret, many believe, and I've become one of them, that our names are already written in the book of life, but that our names have to be removed from the book of life. Remember, the scripture tells us in Ephesians that we are predestinated. And then we find in Revelation, he says, repent or else I will blot your name out of the book of life. So their names were in the book of life, but had to be blotted out. Jesus says that he knows those who are his, praise God. So at the end of the day, whether our name is in there when we're born again or our name is in there before we're born again, the bottom line is our name is in there. But there are those whose names will be in the book of life, but their names will be blotted out of the book of life. Why? Because like Rick was just talking about, there are five churches that Jesus said, repent or else. There is a warning. And so even the warning that the Lord is using Rick to bring and that Jesus brings in Revelation 17 is a warning of judgment, that if you don't repent, this is what's going to happen. But the awesome news with God is that this is the day of salvation. As long as we have breath, we have opportunity to repent. But the choice is not God's. The choice is ours. Sometimes people say, well, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? And the truth is that God doesn't send. It's not just that God is sending people to hell. It's that people send themselves by rejecting the good news, by rejecting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe if you were to ask God, why does this happen? Why do people go to hell? God would say, it's not my choice. It's not God's choice. It's God's choice that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we have the choice to do what we want to do. Thank you for that tonight, Margaret. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Sue. Sue says, wow, what a story, Rick. Thank you for sharing. Amazing. Blessings to you. Sue, I really encourage you to get his book. Go to Amazon, The Hour That Changes Everything by Rick Pearson. It's a number one bestseller right now. You can also get lots more information by going to prophecyusa.org. Call you blessed, Sue. Another email here tonight from our friend Sherry. Sherry says, blessings to all the Spirit of Faith staff. I love the show. It's such a pleasure to listen and learn. Man, we love you, Sherry. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. I'm going fast because I want to get right back to Rick. Another email here tonight from Ranny. Ranny says, good evening, Pastor. Will you please tell me where I will go when I die as a Christian? Will I fall asleep until 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where it says the dead shall rise first to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord? So, Ranny, the answer is in your question. And the answer is that when, as a Christian, you don't die. Remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. When your body dies, you don't die. Your body dies. You simply transition from one realm to another realm. The moment your heart stops beating, your spirit and your soul leave your body, unless the rapture takes place, your spirit and your soul leave your body, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord immediately. There is no death for a believer. Once you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you've done all the dying you're ever going to do. Call you blessed, Ranny. In Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Don. Don says, hey, Pastor, who is the Christian Stephen in the Acts of the Apostles? Is it true that he was a Christian martyr? what did he do? I don't remember hearing about him. So I encourage you to go and read it, Don. And Stephen was the first martyr, and he was killed with stones. And when he was dying, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and he was received up into glory. He's the first martyr. Call you blessed tonight, Don, in Jesus' name. Two more quick emails. Susan, question for you, Pastor. Someone told me that the Bible is the most popular book ever written due to the number of copies sold in the world. Is that true? I tried to do research on it, and a lot of information says that it is, and some states that it is not. Can you please confirm either way? Yes, Susan, the number one best-selling book of all time is the B-I-B-L-E. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Email here from Hank. Hank says, hello, I am a first-time listener. God bless you, Hank. Welcome aboard. I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Such a great show. Thanks for the info. We love you, Hank. Call you blessed tonight. And last email before we get back to Rick is from Glenn. Glenn says, Pastor, who was the very first king of Israel? Was it Saul or Moses? Great question, Glenn. It was Saul, praise God. He was the first king, and it wasn't God's perfect will. It was God's will for God to be their king. But because they wanted a man, God gave them Saul. And, of course, the next king was David, praise God. Amen. All right, Rick, go ahead. Let's continue.
Okay, one of the things I want to leave, somebody said, is there any hope for us as believers?
Yes.
And I want to talk about the divine dichotomy of God. Dichotomy, awesome, means two extremes. God's wrath is extreme, but so is his mercy.
Yes.
So is his mercy. Now, when in Revelation 18:4, he says, come out of her, my people, be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. God raises up as a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, but she fills that cup with the shedding of innocent blood. And it says, reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works which she has filled. And in that cup is the shedding of innocent blood. 2,000 years ago, innocent blood was shed for us. If we call on the name of Jesus, no matter what we've done, innocent blood is shed for us. Now, when the judgment comes down on Babylon, there's 8 verses saying it's going to be in 1 hour and in 1 day, and it's going to be by fire.
8 verses. And
8 verses say that. Revelation 18:8, 10, 17, 19, Revelation 14:7, and Isaiah 47, I believe it's 9 through 11. It talks in 1 day and 1 hour, suddenly the loss of children. But in that hour, there's another thing that happens. God's divine mercy happens. In Revelation 3:10, it says, I know your works, and I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. You have little strength and has kept my word and have not denied my name. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world.
Wow.
That is the open door where the rapture takes place. When the judgment comes down, the rapture goes up. Now, as you read along in Revelation 19, after the judgment of Babylon, there's a voice in heaven of much people. And it says God has judged Babylon, and these people are all up in heaven and they're rejoicing. And it said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is the only time sequence in scripture where we know when the rapture takes place, because the bride in verse 23 and 24 of Revelation 18 was found in Babylon. The light of the candle shall shine no more in thee, and the voice of the bride and the bridegroom shall be heard no more at all in thee.
Now, is that found... so that's saying that if America is Mystery Babylon, that at this moment when judgment comes in 1 hour, that no longer is the bride, is the,
on the earth.
It, right, not on the earth or in Mystery Babylon?
She's no longer in Mystery Babylon. No longer, the bride of Christ is no longer on the earth once the judgment comes down, because immediately after the judgment, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and it says the bride hath made herself ready.
Now, what point do you believe in the tribulation period does this judgment take place?
Right at the beginning.
At the beginning. So this, we know that there's going to be tribulation saints that come out of Europe, right? Out of the tribulation period.
It'll be all over the world, people right. will be raptured, those who are counted worthy. But now look at this at the first four seals. When Jesus opens the seals to begin the tribulation, the first seal is a white horse, and he conquers. The Antichrist convinces or conquers the nations to join him. Immediately, the red horse is released, and the red horse is a horse of war, and he has a great sword in his hand, a great weapon of mass destruction. This is in Revelation 17, 16, when God gives the Antichrist the power to come into power, and the first thing he does is he deposes Babylon the Great. Wow. Now, immediately after the white horse and the red horse are released, a black horse comes, and he has balances in his hand representing the money. In one day, the whole U.S. currency is going to be taken out, and the new digital currency will come in overnight.
Wow.
Overnight, in 1 hour, one day, and we are ready right now. Technologically, we are ready right now for the whole digital thing to take place, but we got to get rid first. We got to get rid of the paper money. We got to get rid of the woman who's opposing the beast.
Well, look at what's happening right now at this moment with Bitcoin and with these other alternate currencies that have just come out of nowhere in such a quick period of time. And you can see how, I forget the billionaire, one of them said that he did not want his pay anymore in currency. He wanted his pay in Bitcoin. Did you hear about that? That was just recently in the newspaper.
I don't know, but from a business, I was in business for 32 years. From a businessman's standpoint, it makes total sense to get rid of paper money.
Yeah.
The only problem is technology has finally caught up with the Bible. Mm, the Bible prophesied this 2,000 years ago, and now technology has come, and the Bible calls the end from the end from the beginning.
Right.
The Bible's alive, John.
Right, right.
We're living in it.
Right.
It's alive.
That's it.
It's not antiquated. We're living in it right now.
It's just that if our eyes are not opened, then we don't see it. You know, that's why Paul told the church to pray, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that God would grant unto us, who's us? The church, the born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-carrying, scripture-quoting believers, that we would be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation is the Greek word apokalypsis, which means to reveal the veil. And we're now seeing these things. God is using you to help the body of Christ, to help the church see these things that have been in that book for the last 2,000 years.
And they've been covered, because the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things he reveals unto us belong to us and to our children.
Right.
And in the last days, the wise will understand, but the wicked will not. Amen. We know what's going on, John.
Amen.
We're on top of it.
Amen.
They're not fooling us. They Amen. Have no idea. They have no idea what they're about to unleash on this planet.
Amen.
But we do.
Now
let's we stay under the covering of God.
Amen. Now let's go back to Revelation 17 and 18 for just a moment. So when the rapture takes place, the church comes out of Mystery Babylon and out of the whole earth. Then you have 7 years of tribulation. Now, there'll be a multitude saved during the tribulation, correct?
Well, it says, there's five verses in Revelation that says, people are martyred, Christians are martyred. Right. Now, whether they're saved or whether they miss the rapture, remember, only half the bride in Matthew 25 was ready. And Jesus said, pray that you might be worthy to escape. He didn't say, you're going to escape because my blood will cover you.
Right.
He said, you got to make sure that you're walking clean before God, which is why he addressed the seven churches who were involved in adultery and lying, and they had mismanaged their money. They weren't helping the poor, and they were involved in all kinds of the seven churches are all messed up. Now, this is all in the book. I mean, I can't unload it all
in
1 hour, but it's there. And
in 1 hour, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, in 1 hour. But we are. I mean, it's here. And yes.
The verse I'm thinking of is Revelation 7:14. And it says, I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. That's right.
Yeah. And they're going to have to give their life.
Thank you.
No, I'm just going to say one thing, John.
Yes, sir.
I started tithing when I was 32 as a biblical principle.
Okay.
If you haven't got faith to tithe,
come on.
God help you.
Come on.
When you can't buy, when you can't buy your groceries or put a gas in your car, and you think you're going to have faith to take the mark and get your head cut off.
Wow. No.
I'll just leave that. But folks, I believe in tithing.
Yes.
I tithe. And yes. I'm not a receiver of the tithe, John.
Yes.
I was in business and gave the tithe.
Right, right. Well, you know, in Malachi chapter 3, God says, you know, will a man rob God? And he said, you have robbed me in your tithes and in your offerings. One of the first places that people backslide is they stop giving. They stop tithing. And tithing is part of our covenant with God. That's so good. We only got about a few seconds left. Go ahead.
You would not be hearing me right now if I hadn't made a decision when I was 32 to give 10% of my net worth. That's what released it.
When you read your book, yes. Rick, that opened the door for the supernatural in your life. It opened the door for God to reveal things to you because of your obedience. You know, Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. Tithing is about honor. Tithing is not about money. It's not about giving. It's about honor. And 1 Samuel chapter 2, God says, I honor those that honor me, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Despise simply means that you don't take God seriously. And if you're not a giver, if you're not a tither, you need to ask yourself, are you really taking God seriously? Let's finish off with two quick emails here. Joyce says, from Queens, New York City, just wanted to say hello, stay well, and be safe. Thank you, Joyce. Call you blessed. Last email of the evening is from our friend Cameron. Cameron says, Pastor, didn't Jesus sit and eat with sinners? My friend said that he did not, and that he did it in the temple. He flipped the tables and was yelling at folks, but he did sit and eat with and preach to bad people. Am I correct? Absolutely. He sat with prostitutes. He sat with sinners. He helped people. Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to help the well. He's come to help the sick. So absolutely he did. You are right on, Cameron. Man, what a privilege it's been to have Rick Pearson with us. His information is up if you're watching Facebook right now. His book is called The Hour That Changes Everything by Richard Pearson. Available anywhere you get books. Go to Amazon.com, Amazon.ca. Also, please check out his website. Download his free app, prophecyusa.org, prophecyusa.org. Also, check your local listings. He's on television, over 100,000 viewers weekly in the United States, over 30,000 in Canada. He's really reaching people right now. God's using him to get this message out. So check it out. Again, prophecyusa.org. Thank you so much for being with us, Rick. We love you.
Thank you, Pastor John. It was my pleasure to be with you.
Praise God. I want to remind all of you, we'll be here next week again. Bishop Keith Butler will be our special guest on the last Sunday in June. So don't miss us next week. Until I see you next time, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.
John, are you there?